I'm going to invite you to turn to Luke 15 with me. Luke 15. Now, this week we're going to take just a few minutes to look through the first couple of stories in Luke 15. Next week I'm going to unpack something else from these two stories, and then the week after that, Ken is going to be sharing from the third of the three stories that Jesus tells here. It's the biggest thing I'd like us to consider from this text as we read through it is what is God's posture towards us? Is God near or is God far? Does God approach us kind of leaning in with an inclined ear, ready to hear us, or do we need to scream and yell to get his attention? Sometimes if you listen to church conversation, we can give, as church people, the impression, or we can receive the impression if we listen, that God is engaged in some kind of big cosmic hide-and-seek session where we're it, and he's out there somewhere, and we're trying to find him in the midst of everything. In the 80s, I remember there was a big move in the 1980s to try and have safe kind of language. We didn't want to offend people that weren't a part of a church, so we stopped using language like saying someone was a non-Christian or saying someone was unchurched, and we started to try and find safer language. And one of the biggest words that emerged was the language of being a seeker. And we talked about having seeker-sensitive services and seeker-sensitive music. And the idea was good. The idea was that we want what we do in a church context to be accessible for people who aren't familiar with it. But the language of seeker can create the impression that everybody out there in the world is looking for God but can't find him anywhere. He's like he's hiding somewhere. And the challenge is that it can give the impression, again, that God is hiding and that what we do here is somehow trying to pull back a curtain to reveal a God that would rather not be seen. When we read the passage in Luke 15 this morning, I hope you'll see that this is not the posture that God has towards us. It's not the posture God has toward you. Now, why don't you follow along while I read Luke 15, starting at verse 1 and down to verse 10. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels, in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. When Jesus lived his life on earth, he regularly faced criticism from the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, from these religious leaders, over the people he spent his time with. In this passage, he's there teaching, and all of these people that are labeled sinners are gathering around him to hear him speak. And the religious leaders are there looking on with this contempt, with this sense that this can't be from God, because God wouldn't keep company with that kind of person. And they're muttering against Jesus, and they're dismissing them because of the people that are around him. And rather than addressing the Pharisees, Jesus launches into these stories. And through these stories, he shares what God's posture is towards people, particularly towards people that these religious people saw as being on the outside and not acceptable. Very quickly, I want to highlight three things in these stories. And first of all, the posture is that of searching. In most parables, one of the good things to do is say, okay, who is the God character? Who is the person that represents God? And in these stories, it's the shepherd. and it's the woman, the shepherd going off to look for the lost sheep, and the woman in this desperate search for the lost coin. God's posture towards these sinners, God's posture towards these people, God's posture towards each of us is one of searching us out. Not hiding, not wondering, not leaving us hoping we might be able to grab a glimpse of Him someday, but rather quite the opposite, pursuing us. Three very quick things that we see in these stories. First is that God's search, His quest in these stories demonstrates God's posture of pursuit toward you. Even sometimes when we read parts of scripture passages, we can get the idea that God is distant, He's far off. Nothing is really further from the truth. Consider some of these passages. In Isaiah, there's a thing that says, "Seek ye the Lord." Okay, does that mean He's hiding? Well, not if you read the whole thing. It says, "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He is near." That passage in Isaiah is actually written to people that the text around it calls wicked people. And even the message to those people that were considered wicked, it's seek God while He can be found. He's right there ready for you. Seek Him. Come to Him. Call on Him while He is near. He is right there with you. He's not trying to hide from you. He's not trying to run away from you. He is right there ready for you to turn to Him. In Jeremiah, there's a verse that says, "Call to me, and I will answer you." Again, it's not a picture of somebody screaming across a big field or something. I'm right here. Just turn to me. I'm ready to answer. Jesus' own words, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Again, this invitation is not one that... You know, it's not from an insurance company in Toronto saying, "Yeah, if you just can get on the plane and come up here, then I'll take care of you." It's more of an invitation of a loving caregiver kneeling down beside someone who is hurting and just inviting them to lean in and rest in His arms. That is the posture of God toward us. It's pursuing us. It is close. He wants that connection with us. When you think about Jesus, I mean, he left heaven. He left this other realm to come as a human and to dwell with us. He pursued us. That's the picture. And when He came, He showed up not saying, "Just so you know, everybody, the kingdom of God is out there for you to get to." The message was actually, "No, the kingdom of God has come near. It's here. It's available. It's accessible." And when He commissioned His disciples, the Great Commission, what's the first word? Go. He told us to go on His behalf, to pursue, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. His mission was one of pursuit. The mission He calls us to is one of pursuit, bringing the kingdom of God to the world and inviting everyone to join it. God is pursuing you. He's not hiding from you. He longs to be close to you and in relationship with you. The search demonstrates that God is a posture of pursuit towards you. This search that we see in these pictures also demonstrates how great God's love is for each one of us. We read in John 3:16 that God so loves the world. And we read in Ephesians 5 that Christ loves the church. And sometimes we can get lost that, well, yeah, we know that God's love and He loves the world and He loves the church, but we forget that He loves us, that He loves you. God's purposes are as big as the redemption of the world, but they are as personal as your heart. He longs to connect with you personally and bring you in as a part of this much bigger redemption work that He is doing. The search demonstrates how great God's love is for each one. The last thing just to highlight this morning is that the search demonstrates how valuable God thinks you are. The images that Jesus chose here of a lost sheep and a lost coin, they are valuable things. A sheep was a valuable thing, ongoing source of income. This wool would grow back year after year after year. It was something that was financially valuable. And the coin, it was only one coin, but it seems that this is probably talking about a wedding gift, when Palestinian women would receive a set of 10 coins as a wedding gift. And to lose one would be probably not unlike the loss of a wedding ring today. And so the loss of this, even for a wealthy woman, it's not about the money as much as this really important sentimental thing. It's a symbol of something far more. I mean, can you relate to this woman who literally is ripping her place apart to make sure she can find this one coin? It was that valuable to her. I don't know, maybe, have you been in that situation where your house actually gets cleaned because you want to find something? That's what's going on here. That's how valuable this was to her. And that's the picture that Jesus creates. Say, God is pursuing each one of us. God is pursuing you because He sees that much value in you. He sees that much value in each one of us. Some of us have spent much of our lives being devalued by people who should have been seeing the best in us. And we've sat with others judging us for much of our lives, or we have sat judging ourselves for much of our lives, and we don't feel like we're worth that much. But your worth, your value, your place is not determined so much by what other people say about you, or quite frankly, even what you believe to be true about yourself. In these stories, Jesus declares that the Creator of the universe sees this much value in you. He loves you this much. He is pursuing you. In the face of these religious leaders who, they looked at these people that Jesus is with, and they see a God who is hidden, and He has to be approached through the law. Jesus comes along and says, no, that's not it at all. God is on a quest. He is pursuing each one of you who need Him. The religious leaders come along and they demonstrate a God who is living in harsh judgment towards those who have left Him. And Jesus shows a God who is actually relentlessly seeking to rescue them. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law see a God who wants nothing to do with these sinners. And Jesus comes along and says, no, God is a God who is absolutely devoted to pursuing each one of you who has been lost. God's not hiding from you. He's searching for you. He longs to have your heart. He wants to bring you home. Let's pray. God, thank You for these brief stories in which You give us a glimpse of the heart of God. A God who is pursuing us, who aches for us, who loves us, who knows a value in us beyond what we, most of us, can even imagine for ourselves. God, I pray that You would help us to trust in Your words, Your love, Your pursuit of us, and to turn and lean into You. In Jesus' name, amen.